Jared Doyle Show.
All right, today is Equal Pay Day. President Obama today signed two executive orders, the first being Equal Pay Day, which prohibits federal contractors from retaliating against workers who discuss their salaries, a critical tool to encourage pay transparency. And the other is a new regulation requiring contractors to report salary summary data to the government, including sex and race breakdowns. The hope, and we know Hillary Clinton said hope is not a strategy, but the hope is that this will encourage employers to submit data voluntarily. The word is, the number is, that's being bandied about, is that women earn 70 cents on the dollar for the same job that a man does. Is that true? Talking about it with us on the program, Anita Finley, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 4 months, number one position, Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jerry. And it's the quote is 77 cents on the dollar.
Well, what'd I say, 70?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. See, I'm trying to...
Let's not send us back.
Take your shoes off and get back in the kitchen, Anita. Come on.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, you know what? Tell me what you want me to cook, and then I'll throw it.
I would... Wow, you're like my mom. I gave her a comment about something, and she whipped a bowl of peas and onions at me across the room. And that, boy, that got my attention. I didn't think she had it in her, but
that. You told me that because you were sass and your mother, and what was coming to you.
I was sassing my mom. I think it was something about I didn't like what she was making for dinner, and she gave me that standard line when we were growing up about there's starving people in the world who would kill to have this food, and I was like, ship it to them, you know. I was like 14 or 15 years old. And then she whips
two bowls of peas at you.
She whips it across the room. This is in Brooklyn. It hits the concrete wall behind me in the kitchen. And I'm like, what was that? And she's like, airmail.
Now I know where you get it from, Gary. Fabulous sense of yours.
Right. She's insane. God bless her. All right, let's talk about this 70 cents on the dollar that a woman earns for the same job that a man does.
Well,
there's
something that you would find fascinating. You know, what's interesting to me in terms of President Obama signing these orders, and what I appreciate what you just said, you know, from Hillary Clinton, hope is not a strategy. And it's true, unfortunately, you know, as much as President Obama, you know, he may pay his staffers better than the national average. Supposedly, he pays the women staffers 88 cents on the dollar per, you know, what the national average is of 77 cents on the dollar. And there's some just this debate and discrepancy how those numbers are calculated, and women have less experience, or the guy is at a higher position, or all of that. But, you know, all of that gets very convoluted. There's a couple of things I want to point out. First of all, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has studied 534 different jobs, and men get paid less than women in only 7 of them. So when you want to say women typically choose jobs that are, you know, lower paying than men, that's a lot of nonsense. So let's take that talking point and throw that out the window. In terms of what President Obama is doing, you know, it's not great that he's not able to pay women the same as men. And whatever kind of talking point they're saying with less experience, let's just use the White House as a microcosm for a second. You know, he tends to have a boys' club over there. There was a fabulous article a couple of months ago by Amy Sullivan at Time Magazine talking about this. You know, even if he's out playing b-ball or out playing golf, and you and I have talked about this, the golf foursome, that's who you're familiar with, and
right,
these are the people who wind up being closest to you. As a businessman, you know this to be true, Jerry. Where is a lot of business done? Where is a lot of networking done? Where do you move ahead? You move ahead on the golf course. You move ahead socializing. You get people to be comfortable with you. So if he's rubbing elbows and kicking back with the guys, and there are so few women in that circle, then those women are not included in his inner circle in terms of who he pays attention to and who has an opportunity to get those higher jobs. So the wage gap functions in several different ways. First, there is a pure wage gap in terms of women being discriminated against and making less money than men. But then you also have a situation where in the social stratosphere, women are not sort of invited into that circle in the first place, how are you supposed to get the opportunity to get the experience, to get that job, to move ahead, if you're not even allowed into the room where that sort of hobnobbing is happening? And then the third leg of all of this, you know, is coming from the John Boehners and so on, who are denying, A, that a wage gap pretty much exists in the first place, or also President Obama saying, well, now we're going to study it. He's been in office 5.5 years. Now you're going to study it? There's going to be more studying? You know, I just gave you the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's been studied. So what I call studying, stalling, and denial, you know. And the wages have not moved up since 2002. They've been pretty stagnant, and they've only changed in 50 years about the tune of 18 cents. I mean, it's really pretty frightening. And the last thing I want to say as I plunge ahead here is that, you know, I know I'm trying to get all of this data out. Now
That's all right. We got time. We got time.
What I wanted to mention was that in states where the minimum wage is raised, because as you know, a lot of women, more than men, 2-to-1 actually, hold minimum wage jobs, whether they like it or not. And when you raise the minimum wage, that in itself closes the wage gap considerably. And there is a fabulous article that I really wanted to draw your listeners' attention to. It's on a blog called Policy Mike, Policy M-I-C, and it's called Everything Women Could Buy If They Got Paid the Same as Men. And it really is a comprehensive and educational article talking about, you know, how many women are sole breadwinners taking care of kids and what the realities are in the workplace today. So, you know, that those are the real numbers out there beyond the spin.
Okay, well, to go with the BLS, the highlights of women's earnings in 2012, Bureau of Labor Statistics states that, you know, women earned $691 and men earned $864, blah, 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 blah. But the BLS, they also did some extractions of those numbers. And when you took a look at how marriage, children, education, and job risk factor into all of those, men were almost twice as likely as women to work more than 40 hours a week, women almost twice as likely to work 35 to 39. Women who work 40 hours a week earned 88% of male earnings. And then if you take away the kids, which I know is not an easy thing to do, but if we're just looking at data, single women who have never married earn 96% of men's earnings in 2012. That, according to the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that is also giving us the 70 cents of every dollar. So I understand where the numbers come from in their raw form, but when you take a look at things that are impacting women's ability to earn dollar for dollar, like marriage, like children, like education, like risk jobs, like loggers and iron workers and things like that, then we're a lot closer in pay parity than that 70 cents on the dollar would lead people to believe.
You are and you're not. I mean, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't have conservatives coming out and saying, well, women belong in the home and they should raise a kid and raise the children, and families do better when both parents are around and there's a one-income household and so on, when you have an economy where it is almost impossible for you to raise kids when you just have a one-income family. And then you're asking women to bear the brunt of responsibility with raising children, and then further you're penalizing them because they want to spend the first 3 years with their kid and then they want to go back into the workplace, and they have lost an incredible amount of ground to the tune of 20-30% over a lifetime's worth of earnings. That strikes me as unfair. And there was another article on NBC talking about, you know, countries like Sweden who do have paternity leave, you know, never mind the kind of wuss factor that some, you know, hosts out there are blaming guys who do that. I think that's great that the guy would spend time bonding with the child as well and taking on some of the household duties. And in that situation, then the woman does have an opportunity to benefit her career. And in some cases, as you know, there are families today where women who are earning more college degrees, by the way, today, they may even have an opportunity to out-earn a man because they may be in a higher income field, but they're not even getting to realize that opportunity because of the broken career pipeline. So I think, you know, this is the problem, or part of the problem, Jerry, is that we're operating on sort of an antiquated way of thinking. I think that the laws, the policies, the school policies, the leave or no paid leave and so on, this is looking at a model that we have outgrown. that does not exist anymore based on the current economy we have. I'm not trying to make this out to be, oh, you're out to get me, and this is something that is retaliatory or discriminatory intentionally. I think this discrimination is sort of grandfathered in, and we just have not caught up with the changing times in terms of how we legislate or how we work in the workplace and how we look at the worker. I think there's also a grandfathered in mentality when you're hiring the man. Oh, man is breadwinner. Well, no, that's not true anymore. Here you have woman is breadwinner too. So we have to change our thinking. And I think the change in thinking and the changing of who's welcomed into the circle, that is also going to lead to the changes and the lessening of pay discrimination.
Anita Finley's with us on the program, actress. But what do you have a new AT&T commercial coming out? When is that coming out?
Oh, I am assuming it's going to be running over the summer. I mean, they keep paying me holding fees for it, but it's kind of cute. It's about digital life and all those pesky, irresponsible teenagers. It's very cute. So
Now, Screen Actors Guild, that's a pay parity union that you and I are both members of. You know, we equal pay,
equal
work there, right?
I have a comment for you about that, too, but go ahead.
Okay. All right. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's supposed to be a pay parity situation, but here's something that's interesting that people may not realize. You know, let's just talk in the workmen, you know, the sort of people who are the rank and file actors when you're hired to do a guest star, co-star, blah, blah, blah. What people may not realize is that sometimes a man is given better billing, and if you're given billing at the front of the show, you automatically get a higher salary for the same exact job.
Right.
So
well,
that discrimination can't happen in my workplace either. It does happen, and in many different ways. But yes, go ahead.
But basically, if you're working on a SAG contract and outside of billing, and who's got a better agent, who'd negotiate opening title, single card, shared card, that kind of thing, you know, those things come into play. But I mean, as far as you know, what a SAG rate, weekly, daily rate would be, that's pretty much something that's standard. But I want to get back to your point about how. And there was this one report that I was reading from the American Enterprise Institute that labor market discrimination is unlikely to account for more than 5% of pay disparity and may not be present at all. But that's whatever. But
I don't buy that for a second because
I know you don't.
For 35 years, and I can give you 50 anecdotes to tell you that just isn't true. But go ahead.
Right. But with regard, with regard to how parity, I guess, can come to be perceived to be in existence. When you were talking about who you know, who you hang out with, who you socialize with, and what you do, if I was saying, you know what, I want to take a cruise, and I want to go to the Mediterranean, and who do I think is a cool person to cruise with? It would be like you and your husband, right? And then me and my significant other, and then we all take a cruise. Now, if they look at that, they go, oh, look, you know, if you wanted to look at it, unfortunately, the way people would look at things politically, they'd say, well, he's very diverse. You know, he's cruising with another couple. And if you were black, they'd say, wow, he's even more inclusive because he's cruising with a black couple or an Asian couple. And but the thing is, I know that you like to cruise. We're talking on a ship, and I know that you like to cruise the Mediterranean. So we would have that because of our friendship and our familiarity. But how do women get that familiarity with Mahogany Row and with the boardroom and hanging out with people like Obama who are playing golf? I mean, you got two women that were allowed given membership at the golf course where the Masters is played. Condoleezza Rice is one, and I forget who the other one is. I believe she was a Democrat. You would think that Obama would be like, hey, Condoleezza Rice, she's kind of like a political chick, a black woman. Maybe I should play golf with her. But he doesn't know her, and he doesn't hang out with her. So in that whole notion of it's who we associate with, if I needed to put a foursome together to play golf right now, there would be certain people that I would go to right now. And then based upon that snapshot of who's teeing off, you could say they're inclusive or exclusive, they're sexist or they're not, they're you know what I mean? So it's basically who we know.
Yeah, but you know what, Jerry? Never mind Condoleezza Rice. What about Susan Rice? Susan Rice happened to be a star point guard at basketball when she was in high school. Do you think Obama knows this?
I don't know. I didn't know that either.
Advisors. That's right. But that's my point. We have to be willing, you know, if you know that you're looking for diversity and you're looking for talent right under your own nose, you got to lift your nose out of the paper, don't you? You got to lift your nose and actually turn your head in another direction. And I'm not talking a lot. I'm talking about 5 degrees to the left or right. And you might be surprised at who is actually in the room with you that you have heretofore been ignoring. I think that's really, you know, in answer to your question, it's going to be a top-down and a bottom-up proposition. Women
yeah.
have to make an effort to, you know, ingratiate themselves more in that regard, but the guys who are in that control, they have to join hands, and they have to be willing to say, okay, I'm not going to just pick the same four. Why don't I include one other person? Why don't I
right.
just try to go outside that circle?
Right, but I mean, if I say, like, okay, Anita, go round up 5 Asians in the next hour because, you know, we're going to have a meeting. Could you do it? I mean, I guess I could. It would be hard for me to do. I need 5 Asians, 5 blacks, and 5 Latinos, and we're all going to get together for dinner tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Delmonico's. Could you do it? I could do it, but it would be an effort. If you told me I need 15 of your friends tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Delmonico's, that's a laydown. But I'm not thinking in terms of diversity or exclusiveness. I'm just thinking in terms of who I know, who I hang with, and who I associate with. So when I get that 15 together tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, chances are the large majority of them are going to be white, and they're going to be predominantly male.
Well, you know what? That wouldn't be true for me. You know, my
right?
circle would be a lot more diverse. But I, like I said, I think it's just about you having to be willing to stretch. And so,
absolutely.
You know, and it's not like you wouldn't because you're an incredibly supportive person. So I think that it's just, I don't think that it's you're not willing. It's just to exercise that part of yourself and say, okay, I'm going to stretch. I'm going to take a chance and step outside my comfort zone to let someone else into that comfort zone and see what happens. And you might be surprised. And it has also been proven that women who are let into these companies, the company does better and it's been producing, you know, that has been shown statistically
yeah.
over and over again.
That we're in complete agreement on, and the fact that you're a great guest. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's always my pleasure.
Let us know when that AT&T commercial's out so we can get a heads up on that. And check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all major book retailers. Thanks, Anita. We'll do it soon.
Thanks so much, Jerry. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Stick with us right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.